the bleeding edge and some reference hardware, but we should be all go. Right, so I'm Dale Anderson. I'm one of the primary developers and architects with the Joo Mobile team at Jade Software in Christchurch. Basically, the session's just going over the benefits of implementing a .NET-based middle tier solution in the enterprise to enable rapid native development of the applications. So we're basically just going to go over, look at some of the philosophy behind the architecture, why we made the decisions we did with Joo Mobile. All this is relevant to anyone implementing middle tier, whether it's something extension off Microsoft BizTalk, Oracle Fusion, or mobile targeted like Sales or the likes of ServerStack. So a couple of years ago, a group of us got together and were looking to do something with mobile. So the concept came up that we'd go ahead and build a middle tier solution. One of the members of the team at the time had been involved with the financial sector. He'd been involved with doing cross institution transactions and was looking for a way to be able to get this enterprise data between providers which had a variety of complex back-end systems. Of course, in cross-country and when you have different policies around this. So he ended up looking at REST to satisfy the requirements of this. We looked to use REST architecture to carry on with this scalable middle tier solution. Obviously there's a lot of considerations in the enterprise when implementing a middle tier solution. You've got lots of multiple sources of truth. There's data aggregation across internal systems. With the change of enterprise considerations. We've dealt with a number of customers over the while, and an example, one of them had customers stored in seven different databases, five of which were actually used in real time from multiple call centers. It's quite common to have a customer ringing in, updating their details. The next week, a invoice goes out to the wrong address. So obviously, this is a big consideration in the enterprise. Being able to have a middle tier platform to actually be able to aggregate the data between these internal systems and provide a single source of truth is a huge advantage, both as far as being able to maintain your customer relations and make maintenance a lot easier. Next thing is security. By implementing a middle tier solution in the enterprise, it makes it a lot easier to handle the security requirements of the modern mobile environment. You've got a single place where you can handle authentication. You're not having to expose internal system credentials out on the phone, and you can manage that abstraction a lot easier. Also, another consideration of the current enterprise environment is bring your own device. Obviously, previously, when you're talking about Windows Mobile 5 and 6, it was a lot easier to control your ecosystem. If you're rolling out changes, you quite often had ownership of the application on the phone. You're able to implement something that would allow you to automatically do device, client-side application updates and things like that, which obviously with the rise of bring your own device is just not possible. If you're wanting to use existing ecosystems out there, Apple's App Store, the Windows Store, Android Play, this just isn't an option. You're not allowed to actually physically deploy software to the store which is able to update itself in that manner. So obviously these need to be considered when you're going into building a new application. So looking at the architecture of what we did in mobile, we used REST, and I guess internally we're probably one of the biggest advocates of REST. We tend to follow Roy Fielding's thesis and papers to the T. I guess most of you are probably familiar with REST in the room. The idea of using namespaces representing resources and utilizing the power of HTTP. Obviously, by using REST as opposed to SOAP over the wire, you get all the benefits of all the internal network infrastructure around caching through proxies and things like that, with no cost to you. We tend to use JSON. We do use JSON for everything pretty much. Obviously, it's a lot faster across the wire. Depending on whose papers you read, there is actually some performance optimizations by using it on the client side, even in .NET. And you lose some of the chattiness across the wire of RPC using SOAP. So if you look at the example architecture, this is what we're actually using for Jude Mobile. So as you can see down the bottom, you've obviously got your application and the Jude Mobile databases. You've got the IIS. And inside the IIS layer, we've got the Jude Mobile libraries. So this is where we store a lot of stuff around basic utilities. And then on top of that, we've got our gateway. So we've built our own WCF stack, which handles all the session authentication and stuff like that. Keep going. Okay, so just to go back a bit, sorry, I've lost my train of thought after all the hardware issues earlier on, so just recollecting. I guess one of the things out there, we kind of got, when we actually initially released Dude Mobile, we kind of got pigeonholed into the area of MEAP, being Mobile Enterprise Application Platform. There's lots of big players out there, obviously SAP, et cetera, doing this kind of thing, which is all about being able to kind of write your UI once and deploy some multiple platforms. With Dude Mobile, we kind of took the approach that this necessarily wasn't the best solution. The consumers of your enterprise mobile applications these days are the same people who are downloading applications from the app stores. They expect a native experience, and a lot of these solutions, we didn't believe internally that you got the best experience possible. So what we implemented was a way to actually be able to handle your business logic, all the data aggregation in a nice controlled environment. Obviously, WCF and .NET gives you an extremely good way to implement that fast. And then out on the client side, we take care of all the HTTP requests. We have native queuing to give you all the reliability of sending data across the wire. And it gives you the opportunity to not only call on third parties who obviously got a lot of experience, likes of the Markers and Carnival, they've got experience in doing great mobile front-end applications. They don't have to worry about all the delivery and getting the data backwards and forwards and handling the HTTP client. Obviously, when you actually go to do this yourself, a lot of the actual cost in developing a native application is in the communications layer as opposed to the front end. And once you start bringing on business rules and potential data aggregation across, you know, multiple back-end systems, this obviously increases. So this, in our minds, was the way to get this data out to the phone in a common structured format, actually set up nicely for the native application to be able to generate the user interface required with minimum effort. Obviously, using Dude Mobile, we support push notifications and stuff like that, and have Windows Service integration as well to offer the extra functionality around the edges. So looking at REST, we'll just go through each of these points a wee bit. So with REST, one of the big things is using the HTTP verbs only. Everything you do when designing the application, as far as the namespace of your web services, should be reflecting entities in your business layer. So if you start seeing yourself doing anything outside of these things, and those, you know, doing verb-based definitions in your namespaces outside the scope of the HTTP layer, chances are you're going to end up in trouble at some point. And we've seen that with the stuff we're doing. But just to give you an example, one of the first traps we fell into when we started actually building the framework was, okay, we want to log in. And of course, you immediately think, oh, that's great. I'll go and expose a web service called login. But as you start to think about building a pure REST-based application, what are you actually trying to do when you're logging in? It's you know, create a session. So this is, I guess, the difference. So basically, everything you're exposing via your web services should be representing an object or an entity in your middle tier. We have a firm belief that only one URI should be defined client-side. In the session with Chris and Grant yesterday, they obviously come across the same idea. This is the starting point of your application. This is what your client should log into. Once the client is logged into this initial endpoint, everything else it does should be served up from the server. So if you're doing a search, for example, we tend to post a search request document for a particular resource. The server will go away and construct a URI to that resource and return it back to the client. If you are looking for related resources to a business entity, you should be constructing a document to represent that entity, and within it, it'll contain links to other resources. The more we come across it, it really tends to be a bad idea to do client-side URI construction. To the point with our JavaScript developments using Backbone, obviously it gives you the capability of defining routes client-side. We will actually link those routes back to functions to go and do an appropriate search or request to the server to get passed back a URI to the resources required for the navigation to the new view. So just an example here. This is, not sure if you can see it very well up there. This is a root document coming back from a mobile-based application. So if we look at the current default users plugin URI, it'll return something like this, which obviously has some brief details and a link off to another resource in this case, which happens to be the thumbnail. So moving on to JSON. So obviously with SOAP-based services, SOAP, the WSDL defines a contract between the client and the server. With REST-based architecture, the documents basically form the client contract. So when you're developing your client, it is around the knowledge of these documents. So it's referencing keys, not URIs. And obviously this gives you the capability of searching for other resources as well. Obviously in the namespaces, the web service can accept a search request document in what we use in mobile, and applications built on such, and that'll go off and return the client a URI to a resource representing that request. I'll just point out too, sorry, I forgot to mention at the start that I'll be finishing off with how this relates to the Metro environment. SOAP encapsulation. So generally, depending on how explicit the SOAP definition is, this can be a huge issue when it comes to client upgrades. You've got to make server-side changes, you've got 30,000 users out there using their mobile device, all of a sudden they're all broken and potentially they're not going to work until you get the upgrade out there. So we tend to encapsulate SOAP in this middle tier. This not only gives the benefit of not having to deal with the client side, which being on the platform can be a problem, it also gives you a nice quick way to actually do data aggregation and pull multiple data from multiple systems in one place and create a resource representing the combined information and return it to the client. And obviously, also extending the system later on, if you want to pull in more and more resources, you can actually do the server-side changes, create these new documents, and the old clients will just carry on working with the known document references. And I mean, we've had an example internally where we had a kind of one of our alpha client releases. We'd actually inadvertently used it in our unit testing just to exercise our server, and we found, I think it was on the Drew Mobile 2 release, that we still had a pre-alpha .NET client sitting there blasting away, logging in and working happily. So how does this help Metro apps? Well, given that, I mean, Microsoft done a great job with Metro. Obviously now you've got all the data binding capabilities and stuff within the native toolkit, regardless of what you're using. So there's a few points. So one of the main things we tend to find people doing is proxying SOAP objects and just trying to recreate what may have previously been available on a desktop app or whatever, you go and end up with a mobile app with exactly the same fields and not the most fantastic user experience. So this gives you an opportunity, like when you're actually implementing middle tier, this gives you an opportunity to actually reevaluate what is actually necessary on the device. How is this actually going to look? I mean, I know as a developer myself, it's quite easy just to soldier on and think, oh, yep, but the original application does this. We need this functionality on the client. But this is actually a good opportunity to step back, get some user experience, people in, and reevaluate what is necessary. It generally reduces client-side overhead. So even though the modern hardware is actually getting pretty impressive, every little bit you can do to reduce the latency of the user experience helps. And parsing JSON is extremely low cost on the client. Obviously, latency again is a big issue, especially on 3G connections. Not having to do RPC over that definitely makes a big difference to the user experience on the device. The decoupling, obviously, not only the decoupling between the client and the middle tier, it's the middle tier and the back end as well. So this allows you to roll out, rapidly roll out changes to the mobile application, improve the user experience, without having to actually do any back end changes potentially. The back end enterprise infrastructure can just generally roll on in current sort of long life cycles, but it still enables you to actually deliver rapid client-side changes to introduce new functionality. And in the end, a reduction in the front-end development. You're basically doing all the aggregation and everything in the middle tier, and you're doing it once. As you add clients, you're just dealing with the same documents you had on other platforms, and obviously that makes things a lot quicker. Right, so we'll have a quick look at the brief example. Alrighty. There we are, right.
there.
Us. Right, so just a quick example. So this is an extremely simple Metro app using WinJS. Obviously we can just page through, look at the account details. Extremely simple. So if we go and have a look at the code behind that, hopefully, right. Right. So here we have basically a simple call referencing do mobile framework in this instance. Get reference to the settings instance. We're adding some credentials there, which you can't actually see because it's just printing off the screen. And logging into the root document URI. We know the credentials are right, so we aren't actually doing any handling there. And it'll go off happily and authenticate server side. Application carries on. Those of you who have done any WinJS development, this will be pretty familiar. So we're just navigating off to this accounts HTML. The difference is that once we get into the ready function, we're actually going off and calling this get customer details. A get customer details goes off, just does a get to a root document resource. So as you saw on the slide earlier, we have this concept of root document. Now, in the case of Due Mobile, this defines all the starting points of the application. So this function we have in our framework allows you to go and get an entry off that. In this case, we're generating a new URI and passing it off to a get and supplying a callback and passing through the state. State in this case is actually the callback from the original view. So once it's come back and it's completed, we're passing the response into a JSON object and invoking the callback that was initially passed through. Just to point out, this is, as it stands at the moment, most of you have done JavaScript development, you're pretty familiar with this style of pattern. Going forward, we are actually going to be implementing promise support. So once we've loaded that up, we've got the customer details. And once we've got the customer details, obviously this is when that first view loads with the tiles. We're just doing some cleanups on the response there. It's not too pretty at the moment, so we're putting a nice little dollar sign in the front there and calling the callback. So if I go back into accounts.js, okay, so this is pretty familiar if you've done WinJS. So the item invoked. Once we've actually selected an account, we grab the index and navigate to transactions. once again, we have the ready function. We're selecting the account that was set on the current object state, and heading off and retrieving the accounts for the calling this get transactions for account. We have a URI on the account which references a list of transactions. So we're calling that, passing through a state object. In this instance, it's passing through the current object and the callback that gets invoked on completion. And once again, we're calling a get and passing the account URI. Obviously, once it's completed, we just go through, clean up the data, and invoke the callback. Okay, and that wraps up about the demo.
Did you have to implement security on the certification?
Pardon?
Did you have to implement security on the certification?
Yep.
How would you do it? Would it be a tile, or when you click on a tile?
Right, okay. So, the question was how we handle security. Obviously, you saw that the original login request we did there, you can actually assign a callback. Once it's completed, we pass back in the current state of whether the request was successful or not, as far as authentication goes server side. And if it has failed, we pass you in the failure reason as well. So in that case, you would pop a message dialog or similar customized one with login details. Or alternatively, you could actually just go to a login screen to start with. And pass in the details, and then navigate to the accounts view once that has succeeded. Any other questions at all? Okay. Well, that about wraps up the session. Thanks very much for your time.